I guess it was about midday when that silly fellow ran up beside the chariot. Nearly got himself killed, he came so close, or at least injured. One minute I'm reading from the scriptures, the next thing I know, this man beside me is yelling something about, "Do you understand?" Startled a little, I jumped. Not really knowing what else to say, I responded, "How can I if no one guides me?" The truth is, I've been trying to understand for a while now, yet some of these scriptures seem a bit confusing. Especially for me, a eunuch, this one who is considered unclean, who has a blemish, impure. It wasn't my choice, and yet here I am, pushed aside almost like an outcast. I'd even made a pilgrimage to the temple to worship, something I've always dreamed of, hoped of doing. Thankful for King Solomon bringing his God, sharing his God with us, the Ethiopians, so many generations ago. With our ancestor, the Queen of Sheba. My great privilege and joy to work for the current queen, now giving me the opportunity for such a great pilgrimage. But I'm not sure what I was hoping for, such a mix of emotions, this temple that I knew I most likely wasn't going to be fully welcomed into. Yet I still traveled anyway, hoping for some sort of answers to my questions, some better understanding of this God that I desired to follow, this community I longed to be a part of, rather than continually feeling pushed to the side or included only to an extent. Welcome into the temple, but only so far, not allowed beyond those gates, those doors to the inner parts, to the assembly. For those passages in the Torah, the law, the books of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, they seem pretty clear to me. They spelled it out with big, bold letters. No one who is emasculated or has his male organ cut off shall enter into the assembly of the Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and say, no one of your offspring throughout the generations who has a blemish may approach to offer the food of his God, for no one who has a blemish shall draw near. One who is blind or lame or has a mutilated face or a limb too long, or one who has a broken foot or broken hand or a hunchback or a dwarf, or a man with a blemish in his eyes or an itching disease or scabs, or a man who is emasculated." Yet I went anyway to this temple that called me, this pilgrimage journey. And the temple was beautiful, a marvel in and of itself, and I felt such a strong connection to God, one I've never felt before. And yet, so emotional that I was only allowed to enter so far and not gather into the assembly. This continued pain I felt for so long growing up as an Ethiopian eunuch, so far and disconnected on many levels. But I'm still glad I went. An experience I'll never forget, especially that ride back home and that crazy man, Philip. Asking this question that perhaps I've been waiting for the answer all my life, do I understand? How can I? How can I when it seems so confusing, when it says one thing in one place and a different in another? Let me explain. I knew clearly what the law told me. I wasn't welcome into the assembly, at no fault of my own. And yet I found myself reading from the prophet Isaiah over and over and over again. And I hadn't yet gotten to my favorite part, the part I find most hope in, that is Isaiah 56. "For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give my house and within my walls a monument and a name, better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." I was just a few chapters away from this when Philip overheard me reading. So I invited him into my chariot, no idea who he was or if he even knew the answers, as he didn't look like a very well-learned man. but there was just something about him that made me call him in, giving him a chance. And so I asked, does the prophet Isaiah say this about himself or someone else? When I was reading, like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shears. So he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied. Who can describe his generation, for his life is taken away from the earth? I have to admit, I was hoping if he could explain this section to me, perhaps we could get to that larger section that I wanted to, a larger discussion about that section that I wanted to, that section I find both hope and yet struggle with. For how can the law claim I'm not welcome into the assembly, that I'm considered unclean, and yet the prophet proclaim that I'll be given an everlasting name, better than sons and daughters, that I be welcomed into the house of God? The two seem so opposite of each other. And also I wanted to know when was this going to take place, what this prophet proclaimed? There was so much that I just didn't understand. Perhaps more than I realized, for I asked this seemingly simple question, and Philip at first starts with interpreting the scripture for me, but then he goes on to proclaim about this man named Jesus. This good news, he kept saying. At first, I was trying to figure out who this Jesus was. I had heard whispers about him on my travels to the temple, but never the whole story. But as Philip continued on to tell me about this man, the Son of God, who came and lived among us, who was persecuted and killed, and who rose again to new life, I felt such warmth in my heart, such hope and excitement, that by the time I saw water by the side of the road, I said, look, here's water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? What was to prevent me, stop me from being welcome? This new community of Christ, this community of God, this new life I'd always desired. This time, Philip seemed a little startled, almost at first that he didn't know how to respond. And looked to be thinking about it for a moment, but I stopped the chariot anyway and jumped down into the water. Philip followed. I guess whatever thought process he went through, he decided there wasn't anything to prevent it from happening. And he baptized me right there in the water, welcoming me, embracing me, baptizing me in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I came out of the water, Philip disappeared fast, faster than when he approached me and startled me. While I was disappointed I didn't get to see him again and hear more about this good news, I went on rejoicing anyway. How could I not? I was welcomed for the first time ever, fully welcomed and claimed by God. No more barriers, no more you can only come so far. Philip had briefly spoken about the Spirit at work guiding him to me. The will of God, this Spirit sure knows how to disrupt lives. For I can't help but wonder how strongly the Spirit must have disrupted Philip's to bring him to me. This Ethiopian eunuch, this one who was far off. But I truly believe it was the Spirit of God, knowing the desires of my heart, warmly welcoming me home into the house of God. The scriptures fulfilled from Isaiah called more than just sons and daughters, but giving an everlasting name of beloved. This one who wondered if I truly ever feel welcomed, if I was truly loved by God, called beloved in baptism. I thank God daily for the work of Philip to follow where the Spirit called him, this beautiful disciple of Christ to be challenged and made uncomfortable in his own way, to realize the Spirit still moves through the scriptures today, interpreting them to me, and perhaps to overcome his own thoughts and judgments about me, knowing himself what the scriptures of the past say, but following the Spirit who challenged and startled us both that day, showing us just how broad and wide the welcome, the love of God truly is. Praise God for such a love, I will truly share it with all along my path, going wherever the Spirit leads, proclaiming this amazing love of God through Christ Jesus, this one who rose to new life to grant us, welcome the whole world to new life. Thanks be to God. Amen.